T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
To take this time to remind you that we need to make sure that we're wearing our masks. As of right now, we are even wearing our masks in the cafeteria. So kind of like if you've ever been on an airplane recently, you have to keep your mask on at all times, even when you're eating. So what you'll do is you'll drop it down just to take a bite, and then you'll put your mask back up over your nose, even in the cafeteria. So the only time that we can be mask-free at this point is when we're outside.
Yeah, that's what's going on in the Kirkwood lunchrooms right now. Somebody recorded that audio there. When are we going to get the flap? That's what I want to know, right? The mask with a little flap on it that you can just fold down and eat and then fold it back up, because that's what they're asking for, right?
Yeah.
You I saw kind of a joke the other day with like a shirt that had the same kind of thing, like to pull it down sleeve. To get your jab.
For the next booster?
Uh-huh.
Booster 4, 5, 6, 7,
just wear sleeves,
you don't
little
have
pockets on the shoulders, yeah. You can snap down and
you have to roll your sleeves up. What are you talking about? That's old school. That's something else. Anyway, that's kind of how ridiculous it's gotten. Now it's even moved into the lunchrooms, even though the statistics don't back up that this is making a difference. Are some places going to see the fallacy in that? I just don't know when for sure. Hey, let me get to my guest. Kim St. Ange joining me this morning. We've had her on the show before, a former reporter over at KMOV. Kim, how are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thanks for being part of the show this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You heard me talking about masking there a little bit. I saw where the University of Missouri board has voted on this against the idea of mandating masking, which, I'll be honest, in a higher education institution like that, I was a little surprised.
I was very surprised, honestly, especially coming in Columbia, Missouri. I went to school there. I was shocked. But then we're seeing such a difference in how universities here in the St. Louis area are handling the same issue.
Yeah, like you have to wonder what the other universities are going to do. I mean, I can't imagine them not doing that at Wash U or SLU or some of these other colleges.
I think what's so ludicrous to me, well, the Kirkwood thing is absolutely ridiculous. To take your mask, I heard about that. Take your mask off while you take a bite and then put it right back on. It defeats the whole purpose. But I was reading about this, how SLU, you know, sent students home with a COVID test over winter break. They have to have a negative one to return to campus. Okay, on top of that, they have to be vaxxed and boosted and wear a mask indoors. But then, okay, if you go to Washington University, first 2 weeks virtual, you also have to have a negative test, must be vaxxed and wear a mask, but, you don't need a booster shot. It just is absolutely ridiculous. It's like they're throwing it at the wall, the spaghetti at the wall, and just seeing what sticks. It makes no sense. And we've seen, like you said, Mark, we've seen that these studies are coming out. New York Times ran an article about this not too long ago, saying especially with this new variant, those cloth masks that I would say 99% of people I see are wearing those, that those don't even protect you against Omicron. So it defeats the purpose of it. It doesn't make sense. It confuses and, quite frankly, stresses out these students who are paying thousands of dollars to attend these universities to get a quality education, and this is what they're instead dealing with.
Yeah, you know, Kim, it makes me question the intentions of some local news organizations, and I'm not calling out Channel 4 because I know you used to work there, but just in general, like for example, the other day in the out in the Wentzville school district, somebody brought up some very telling statistics that if you compare apples to apples, the Wentzville district to what's going on in Hazelwood has every single mitigation policy you can imagine versus Wentzville, where they were mask optional. And the rates of positive cases among teachers and students, the rates among the number of people who were out of the school building because of the illness, were much higher in Hazelwood than they were in Wentzville. But yet I haven't seen a single one of the local newscasts, and maybe I haven't watched all of them, go out and do that story. I mean, somebody's got to point out the ridiculousness of us thinking we've got this figured out when it's obvious that we don't.
I think that's a big problem with local news. I pushed back on that when I was reporting at KMOV. Why aren't we talking about this? Why aren't we discussing adverse reactions to the vaccine? I'm not saying don't get vaccinated. You can do whatever you feel is best for your body, in my opinion. But the problem is local news is asleep at the wheel. I don't even know if actually that's a good description, because I feel like we're hearing the information, but for whatever reason, they don't want to report on it. And it's a disservice to the public, because people who are watching the news then only hear that one side, and they use fear-mongering language that can exacerbate really what's happening. So then it scares people, when we know that fear is the biggest driver to shift how public operates. And we're seeing that play out right now. I think it was, Mark, a situation, I'm trying to recall the state, but it was a woman, actually a teacher, who remember put her own child in the trunk of her car after he tested positive to COVID-19 because she herself did not want to be exposed.
Yeah, I saw that story. I mean, that's amazing. And it's obviously done out of misinformation and horrible parenting on top of that. But like yesterday, I saw a headline from the Associated Press that they're going to change the way they report on COVID now all of a sudden, because the number of cases are spiking because we're doing more testing and because this is a more contagious disease. So now the Associated Press will no longer emphasize case counts like they did for years and years up until now.
It's just so ridiculous. And the CDC constantly changing what they're doing. It's just, I personally don't understand how anyone can listen to all of this or just think about how much these rules have changed and think, you know what, that makes sense to me. This must be helping the situation.
Yeah.
It's just illogical to me.
Yeah, it's very true. Kim St. Ange, my guest this morning. And, you know, Kim, I was watching I was in Jeff City last Wednesday when the session kicked off down there, and I've been trying to pay attention to what they're doing. I knew that among the bills that they had filed were bills that would ban the teaching of critical race theory as part of curriculum, maybe give parents a little more power over curriculum. And the hearing down there got a record reaction from parents, it sounds like.
That's what I heard, too. You know, critical race theory is really seeping into so many districts, and it's not just in St. Louis City or St. Louis County. It's creeping into districts in St. Charles County, which we would typically think are maybe a little more protected from this. But, you know, they're hiring people like Francis Howell hiring people to come teach staff members about this. And I think the problem, too, is that they're hiding it. It's not as overt as, oh, we are teaching critical race theory. It's using words like inequity, which would mean equal outcome, versus inequality or equality, which means equal opportunity. And so you might be looking at the child's curriculum and not see it because they're using different words, in my opinion, almost trying to hide it. And to me, you know, being a Christian, faith is very strong for me. You know, this idea of critical race theory is anti-biblical. It teaches oppressed versus oppressor. It teaches, frankly, kids to hate each other and to judge each other by their skin color. And I think the other important bill that I'll be curious to follow is kind of this Parents' Bill of Rights, which basically gives parents more control over the material that's given to their children, and in some cases would allow the parents to sue the school district. That could get kind of hairy, in my opinion, but I do think that we've seen a lot of books, very sexualized books, that are actually in libraries and, you know, middle schools and elementary schools, that in my opinion, I would be very uncomfortable if I had a child that age, you know, having him or her read that material. So I do think parents need to have more control, because these districts right now, it just seems like they've had free rein over what is going on. And, you know, the child is your child, right? This is not up to the school district to dictate every single thing, right? We're paying tax dollars to these school districts.
Yeah, when I was in college studying communications law and studying issues like obscenity and all of that. And I remember the definition being, well, I'm not sure what it is, but I know it when I see it. Right? I remember that from the Supreme Court. And now we're in a situation in the Rockwood District where the Eureka Police Department is now investigating some of the books on the shelves down there, but they're not allowed to make the determination. They've had to turn it over to Wesley Bell, the county prosecutor, and it's now in his lap to determine whether or not some of those graphic images rise to the level of obscenity. So maybe a parent's bill of rights is exactly what we need.
I think so. And then I know they're also talking about being able to recall school board members.
Yes.
You know, I do have a lot of respect for school board members. You know, they must take a lot of heat. That would not be an easy job. It's not something I would particularly want to do because of how intense it would be. But at the same time, I mean, that is such a crucial position, and you are held accountable. You're making big, critical decisions that affect thousands and thousands of children. And I do think that if someone says, you know, I will do this, I will do that, and they're not living up to that, I do think there needs to be a system in place where we can say, look, you need to go.
A great point. Kim St. Ange, listen, I appreciate you giving me a little bit of time on Thursday mornings. Looking forward to having you on a lot more. Thank you.
Me too. Thank you. Have a great
day. We will talk again soon. Kim St. Ange, a great fresh voice here, and love getting her on. And she's working out of the news business these days and able to express her opinions, and love having her on here.
Get more at 971talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.